RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Things opening up to the left side of the ice. McLeod carries it in. Alex Tuck and Dahlin. Here's Tuck in front. Scores! Sabres in overtime salvage it in Edmonton, and they take 2 points from the Oilers, and they sweep the season series against McDavid and company.
First ever win was by Buffalo at the Raj. I wouldn't call it home for them, but it is a place of comfort as they win again and get back in the win column.
Yeah, and it was needed, obviously, starting to trip 0-3. And they were up 3-0 in this one, and it slipped away quickly in the start of the third period and then late again. But a win's a win, and you kind of just hope to build off of that. Now, it was Sabres After Dark. It was a 9 p.m. start, so I hope that most people stayed with the game. I mean, after the second period, I think there's probably a lot of people that were like, oh, up 3-0, this is going to be a win. And they wake up today, and they're like, what the heck happened? And they're trying to catch up on what happened in the third period in overtime and how did that go to overtime. But for those that did not watch it or weren't, you know, staying up late for it, there was a lot that happened from even before the game in warmups and through the game with injuries and adversity and all of that. So there was definitely an eventful night in Edmonton that was capped up with a win.
Well, take us through your thoughts on the adversity.
Well, obviously, so it started with, you know, Lindy Ruff talking about Jason Zucker, who is going to be out week to week. And he did say the night before he got hurt in the second period against Calgary, and he played through a significant injury. So that was already, like, Zucker was probably the best Sabres forward, the more consistent, everything that he was given. So you're thinking, oh boy, we're not going with Jason Zucker. And that's the reason why Isaac Rosanne was called up from Rochester. Now, he has to go through a travel day of getting to Edmonton, but apparently everything was easy and fine. He got there, no problem. He's playing. So we're getting ready to, you know, kind of toss to the guys for the start of the game. And we hear Josh Norris is a late scratch. So we're like, what happened? Now, like, it's, you know, the alarm bells are ringing because it's Josh Norris. Now, Lindy did say in his media availability at around 7 p.m. that there's a couple of guys we got to, you know, check and warm up. And comes out that, well, Norris was ill, so illness, but he also said he tweaked a little something in warm up that is not related to his latest injury. So, and there's some concern there, obviously, a big question mark. Like, well, you don't have Josh Norris, so now Josh Dunn is thrown into the lineup. So there was definitely some adversity right from the get-go, knowing that you're losing probably your two hottest point producer, goal scorers, and offensive players in the last little bit here, and both of them were gone having to play the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah, there's a lot to, there's no definitive word on either though. So it's, you know, it's kind of moot to try to speculate what happens here, right?
Well, there was not definitive as to what is the injury to Zucker, but that it is, he used the word significant injury, labeled as week to week lower body right now. Mm-hmm. Norris, we don't know. Norris, mm-hmm. we may not know for, you know, a little bit here. Maybe they're on the West Coast now, so it may be later in the day, maybe even tomorrow until we know. But a combination of illness and soreness was the official word.
Well, Lindy, first of all, on the win itself.
We lose Norris. There was one hell of a tender. You know, we were banged up. We've lost bodies. We lose Zucker. And we play in a back. There's no reason. I mean, it's not even close. It's just icing, and you got to call it. And it gave them life. I thought the glove pass, I don't know where that came from either. I don't think anybody in the league knows anymore where it comes from. But there's no way you can miss it. I understand if the guy's a foot from center ice. He's 5 feet from center ice. He dumps it in. It's an icing call. We're getting first touch. How they miss that call. And so, I mean, I love the way our guys played. Our guys battled through everything. We battled through every element out there.
Well, again, sorry, there's a lot going on here in a lot of different directions, and I'm not doing a very good job with it. But
no, you're fine. It's Lindy went all over the place when talking about adversity, so that was the one thing. He went from warm up to
I'm tired of hearing about the calls. Like I just like you won the game, you know?
Yeah, and part of me wants to like today be able to settle like all of that talk because. Like, obviously, I was fired up after the game for the win, right? So Alex Tuch scores in overtime. It was a comeback from the Oilers. McDavid has two goals. I got home, and I started to just get into this rabbit hole of social media because, you know, I had been in contact with the NHL ops, room. And so I wanted to clarify a few things. And I started reading a lot of what's being said out there. And to be honest with you, like, I'm not saying people don't get the game and people don't understand the game, but there's a lot of people on social media that are saying things that are completely untrue. And they're complaining about this room, this situation room is in Toronto. They got to move it out of there. Do you think the people that are working the situation room in Toronto care that it is in Toronto? It could be in Australia. It doesn't matter. It's in Toronto because that's where a lot of hockey people and offices are. And they're like, you should move it to somewhere else. It doesn't matter. And, you know, there was some calls that were being made that were, okay, debatable, controversial, but it's not that the league is against the Sabres. And that's because, you know, we haven't made the playoffs. Like, I was like, enough of that. So for me, like, having this show, part of it was wanting to just say, hey, this is what happened in the game. This is why it happened. I get that Lindy is emotional after a game and he's calling on the icing and whatever, but calls happen and hand pass or whatever, it happens. So I'm like, maybe we should go through what happened in the game, starting from the injuries or whatever, and then go through it so people understand what really happened the next day when emotions are like, you know, evened out after the game last night.
Well, I mean, they got the call right on goaltender interference.
They did. And they actually got the call right in calling down for the concussion spotter. Because now we know that, well, you know what? Colton Ellis did not pass the concussion spotter test, was put in concussion protocol. Mm-hmm. It took a little longer. So, you know, he gets hit. There's a penalty. Sabres go on the power play. They score the goal, right? Josh Doan deflection goal. But it took a little longer. But there's also a process there. The independent neurologist is going to review the video, decide what's the reaction from Colton Ellis, call down, say, we got to remove him. Then they talk to the Sabres trainer. It's not instant, right? So, but they got it right. It led to the Sabres first goal. Now, I did say in the intermission, I think that was a bump and Colton Ellis will probably be back. But again, like he failed the test and he was put in concussion protocol. So Lyon had to come in. He made a big save late in the first and I thought played really well in the game as well.
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty hard hit.
It was hard, but because he bounced back after that, like he didn't take his mask off and sprayed with water and the trainer didn't come out. I'm like, okay, maybe he's okay. But when you look back at it, you're right. Like, the head was, like, his neck and head completely jarred to the left when he got hit. So that was a pretty significant hit.
And what about the birthday boy and his performance, Alex Lyon?
Look, Alex Lyon has had one start in 11 games now. And the previous start before that was the Colorado game where he played 6 minutes and gave up two, right? So he's had two in like 15 or whatever. He came in the third period against Calgary, made four saves. I felt like maybe that's a warm-up for him to start, but they went with Colton Ellis because he had played the Oilers earlier. I thought Alex Lyon was good. I thought he did exactly what he needed to do. He made a couple of big saves in that second period. The Oilers had a couple of power plays in the second period. They were 5-for-6 on the power play going into the game, and Sabres did well, and Lyon did well. It got overwhelming in the third period, obviously, for everybody, but I got to give credit to Alex Lyon, the 33-year-old Alex Lyon now, for coming in on consecutive nights and getting the job done. Like, not that it's not an easy thing to do. I felt like yesterday was probably an easier thing to do because as a backup goalie, if you're down 1-0, 2-0, 3-0, 4-0, and then you're like, we're playing like crap, and now I'm going to get a tap on my shoulder to go in the net. Like, you always want to play, but there's certain situations like this one, it's competitive. You're going in the game, you're up 1-0, it's the first period. Like, this is my game. I'm taking it as my game. I felt like he responded well, and maybe the situation was perfect for him to go in that and get his first win since late October.
Tage Thompson's streak of games having a goal taken off the board for a different reason continues. Last night it was the right call again.
And it was the right call.
And it's been the hot topic across the league, which made it very clear that it was going to be not a goal.
So it was the right call. And Alex Tuch said after the game, it was kind of funny. He goes, telling everybody, we have the clip. So we, Sam, if you want to play the clip of Alex Tuch, then we'll talk about it just because he had a bit of a sneaky moment post game about his hand pass moment.
Yeah, I didn't think that was a goal. I was telling the guys to line up at center ice as quickly as possible. I knew it went off my glove. I don't know the exact rule because my glove was still on my stick and it wasn't really, I didn't bat at it or anything. I just put my hand up and it went off my glove. I think it's more of a deflection than a hand pass, but Toronto made the call and, we just stuck with it. And I think Tomer got a goal right shortly afterwards, so it was good.
It's kind of funny that he kept telling everybody, line up quick so that they don't take it off the board. They can't review it. They can't challenge it. Now, he's right and correct on one thing. The rule book is very, I would rewrite a lot of the rules to make sure that it's more specific. It says if you bat or play a puck with the open hand, the rule book says with the open hand. So, there was no open hand by Alex Tuch on the play. His hand is on the stick, but there's clearly an advantage gained by him pushing the puck forward of the glove and, going in that way. So I get it. The part that Lindy was mad after the game, we don't necessarily need to play his clip if we don't want to because, he got angry a couple of times and we heard that already, but it's that he goes back to the Florida hand pass and he goes back to the Tampa Bay hand pass. Now, you can't group all of them together. I feel like the NHL made the wrong call on the Tampa Bay hand pass against Pittsburgh, and John Cooper had a rant about it. And I felt like the NHL got it wrong in the Brad Marchand hand pass, Florida against Columbus. It should have been waved off, but they counted it. Mm-hmm. So he's talking about the consistency. But in that play, in that moment, I think that the hand pass was off the glove, pushed forward to Thompson for the goal, and I felt like they got it right. Now, I get people are going to say, you're protect. Again, that's one thing I got last night. I'm not protecting the NHL. I'm calling the game as I see it. And I thought that was a hand pass. And Alex Tuch thought it was a hand pass too. So, you know what? You move on. And then you score right away after. So, at least that was that.
Yes. Thompson involved significantly in the offense in that play and the night before when it was offside in Calgary. Lindy on that topic.
There's no explanation. I mean, I've watched. I watch every hand pass from the Marchand one to the ones that are called a hand pass. There's two hands on his stick. I don't even think he sees the puck. There's no hand off the stick. I don't know how they come up with hand pass. That boggles me. Somebody has to explain it to me. How that one is, and the one in Florida I watched isn't.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
No explanation. I want to know why they didn't review with 1 second left goalie interference. That's a league review. Why didn't they review it? Was the guy not on the edge of the crease? Not a good night.
Well, we'll get to that.
We will get to that because, you know, obviously that was later in the game, so we'll talk about it. But
you're going to have to pick up the pace if you want to knock off all this chronological stuff.
Okay, well, we'll pick up the pace. Third period starts, and Lindy's mad about the icing. And I get it.
I think you're missing the Doan goals, no?
Oh, yeah, we could. Well, the Doan goal was between the leg. It was beautiful, beautiful goal. And I get that, but I'm just picking up the pace here. Doan scored through the leg. It was great. But the parts that I'm just saying people were upset about online or talking about, and Lindy was upset about too, and I want to make sure that we have a clear head looking at all of this, is the icing. Now, the amount of times that icings are going to get waved off when a guy is 3-4 feet short of the red line, we see it every night. Duffer, you and I watch a lot of games. We see it every night. It happens. Mm-hmm. Do I think there was icing on the play? Probably should have been called. But do I also think that the linesmen were maybe not in the right position? One was jumping off the bench to try to avoid being hit by a puck that was going to potentially be rimmed in. The other guys that across the ice, far away, maybe he wasn't paying attention to that because the other guy was closer. I don't know what happened there. But they waved it off. You got to play. I get it. You're up 3-0. Okay. He missed an icing and it ends up being a goal. It's 3-1. No big deal. Keep playing. Now, a minute and 46 seconds later, you give up another goal because Podkolzin is alone in front of the net, taking 3 whacks at it. So that's the problem. The problem is the compounding of everything. But a missed icing happens every game. So it happened there. Lindy was emotional about it, but he was mad about it. And it kind of, that was Connor McDavid's first goal of the night. And, you know, I put the Sabres on their heel at that point.
But did you think it was really a missed icing?
I thought that
but no player on the ice reacted to it that way.
No player reacted to it that way because I think it was waved off early enough to say, right, we got to keep playing. Now, if you show that in referee school, I think you're going to say that's icing. But, you know, we could go and look at every penalties that are called, every ice. Things that are called every, mm-hmm. It happens. It's not going to be 100% in the game. It happens, right? That's just the way it is. So you move on. You keep playing. And McDavid picked up the puck, beat Kosek, and went around Lyon and scored. It's 3-1. There's no big deal. You're still in control of the game. Now, it allowed the Oilers to come back a little bit more, but, you know, that's just one play out of many.
What about the review at the end or non-review? How did you view it?
So this is all right. Number one, people and people still didn't know online a lot that in the last minute of the third period and in overtime, there is no coach's challenge. The league looks at all goals for offside, for missed stoppage of play, and for goalie interference in all last minute of the third period and overtime. So that play happens, and obviously there's contact with Alex Lyon at the top of the crease. And, you know, if you're Lindy Ruff, you're looking down on the screen, you call the referee over. While you're doing all of this, the situation room is reviewing from the time the puck got in the zone, if they missed everything, till the puck gets in the net. They are reviewing it. The penalty box door is open. Lindy's talking to the referee, but they're doing all of that. And then the penalty door closes. The judge on the box gives him the thumbs up. Okay, it's a good goal. Now, often, you know, we're going to get the referees to maybe go to the iPad and say, hey, they're reviewing something, but that was the only game going on at that time. The situation room was because the other game that was on was an intermission. They're only watching one game. It doesn't take long to look at the play. And when I looked at the play, I saw Bo Byram make contact with Dreisaitl outside the crease, which pushed Dreisaitl into Lyon outside the crease, but just on the edge. I'm looking at it, I'm like, that's not goaltender interference. So because Lindy was like, why didn't they review it? And it was kind of not sure if they did. I just sent an email to NHL Op and I said, hey, did you guys review the goal? And they said, yes. The goal was reviewed by the situation room and it was determined that there was no goaltender interference. Easy as that. So We're not complaining that they didn't review it. They went through the process and felt like that was a good goal. I felt like it was a good goal. But again, like you're after a game and your emotions are flying and Lindy was mad and he had, you know, we've had Lindy rants before. He had a rant and he was mad about it.
The only thing anybody should have been upset about last night was the missed tackle by Curtis Lazar on Jack.
That was awful.
That's a joke. That more than anything else in the game last night was a joke because they had called these penalties that had both sides infuriated.
Oh my gosh.
And then you literally pull a guy that everyone can see and then hog tie him right at center ice. Like, what are we doing?
That was pass interference. You know, when you're like the wide receiver and then you pull his jersey back, like it didn't pull back a couple of inches. It stretched to about 2 feet. Like when he pulled him back, and there was a bad call on Alex Tuch on Zach Hyman. Zach Hyman was trying to draw a penalty so bad that he threw himself head first into the boards, not being touched by anybody. Mm-hmm. He's yelling at the referee, got up. Tuch plays the body on Hyman. Hyman throws himself, and they call the penalty on Tuch, which was not a penalty. That made it 4-on-4 for a few seconds, you know, but then RNH took the hooking penalty after that. But it wasn't a good game for the officials. More importantly, I don't think they communicated with the fans, with the viewers, with the coaches, with the players well to let them know what was happening and what was going on. Mm. So I think that led to a lot of frustration by pretty much everybody. But now the game is tied and you go to OT and you're like, oh boy, you know, the Oilers are going to be flying. Well, the Oilers never touched the puck in OT. You know, I said post game, faceoffs only matter when they matter. They lose the faceoff in OT. But we find out late after the game that Alex Tuch said Ryan McLeod told him he was going to play it forward because the defenseman was so tight on the circle that he said, if I play it forward all the way into the Edmonton zone, can you beat your guy? Mm-hmm. And Tuch said, yeah, go ahead. So McLeod went forward. It's a face-off loss, but it was a set play. And Tuch beats Bouchard to the puck. Bouchard, who had a tough game. And then they have possession. They don't lose possession. McLeod finds Tuch in the slot, and it's game. So, yeah, I mean, they get a win. Maybe it sparks some emotions into them because of the way the whole game went, and everybody seemed infuriated and angry with the way that it went, still winning the game.
How many goals for Josh Doan this season, based on now up to 10?
Well, I think he has the ability and the potential to get to close to 30. I would say 25 to 30 would be a really good number, in my opinion. And he could be a 30-goal scorer. like in the NHL regularly. He's playing top power play. He's in the net front presence. He's good at that. I would say 25 to 30, knowing that he's at 10 now and he's kind of heating up a little bit. And maybe, you know, who knows what happens with Norris and with Zucker and whatever, but there may still more ice time and opportunity for Josh Doan to get to that number.
It was a huge night last night. The power play, by the way, is 7 for 23 in the last five games.
Yeah. And they move the puck well. And the number one thing that they are doing is they're taking that shot from Dahlin in the middle of the ice. Like it led to Tuck scoring in Calgary. It led to Doan scoring. And then it leads to teams now more protecting the middle of the ice on Dahlin's shot and opening other plays, like a down low play to Josh Doan. Because you look at the way the Oilers were defending that, they were protecting the bumper, Benson, and they were protecting the shot from Dahlin. So when Thompson got the puck, he had a clear lane to go to Doan, and Doan made a nice play between the legs, but there was a clear lane there for him to go because now you're giving the penalty killers something else to worry about, which is the Dahlin shot from the top.
And power plays up to 20% on the year, which is a nice number to build upon. And it's funny because another two-goal night, and they had four power play goals in Alberta, but you mentioned the 5-on-3. And the fact they didn't score on it, and it could have been a major, major, major issue as to why they didn't win. But they pulled it
out. Tuck missed a glorious chance from the slot, right? Mm-hmm. He had a one-timer in the
slot. It was blocked.
But yeah, Stuart Skinner was gone. Like it got deflected, it got blocked. And then Dahlin hit just the outside of the net with a one-timer, and it made a big sound, like almost the post, but it hit the metal at just the outside of the net. But they had a couple looks, but that would have been a nice way to say, you know what? Here you go. We're scoring and we're walking out of here with a regulation win, sentence an overtime win.
Yeah, and the Oilers did not look good in their defensive zone coverage, allowing Tuck to score the winner for sure. As far as last night, quickly around the NHL, you know, the Ducks continue to amaze. But you like smart players. I like smart players. I think Pittsburgh failed the IQ test in the final 5 seconds of the game. Like, you're on the power play. You're up by a goal. If you get close to somebody with the puck, take a penalty. Like, just don't let them go to the net. And with one
take
tenth
it down.
Of a second, it's so ridiculous. And it's just funny because Crosby's the greatest and smartest guy in the world. And yet it happened to them, you know. Beckett Senek is the best rookie in the NHL, in my opinion, this year. It's not even close. And that's no disrespect to any of the other guys, but he is a game changer. And it's not just the moments where he scores. He is unbelievable to watch every night. He has an attitude that is unlike any other first-year guy. I know he's going to be hard-pressed to win it because of all the Schaefer talk, but he's my Calder guy, 100%. Anyway, he scores with a tenth of a second left as Carlson throws it into his own net.
Yes.
Unintentionally.
And then they win it in a shootout, which... the last attempt in the shootout for Pittsburgh was not a very good one. It made it easy, but again, like it was that Leo Carlson had an unbelievable backhand goal in the shootout. Mm. Beautiful, beautiful skilled play to go over Artur Shilov's on the play. That was that reminded me a little bit of Noah Osland, the way that he was able to. Like Noah Osland in Rochester, the backhand move. Now in the NHL, Noah Osland brought it back to the forehand, but very similar in the way that they go to the backhand.
Osland expected to be in the Amherst lineup tonight as they are in Belleville. We got Brody Ziemer coming up, continuing our look at guys who are looking for another gold medal at the World Juniors. So we'll get to that in a second. Ryan Miller's Catwalk for Charity is also on deck. It's January 16th, a Friday night at Babeville. It's presented by the New Era Cap Foundation, and it's going to have a lot of Ryan's teammates from the 0506 live set from Strictly Hip Open Bar. Lots more. Sabres.com/catwalk. We're back after this.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.